The impetus behind this bill, which expands the mandatory report, which deals with the mandatory reporting laws that we have in our state, was prompted by what happened this fall and this winter as the events at Penn State captured, obviously, everyone's attention. And as those incidents came to light, one in particular was, I think, especially disturbing. The incident, of course, where one of the assistant coaches walked in on a child being sexually abused and actually witnessed that event. And just as a father, as just a human being, wondered, of course, how someone would not take that to the police to take action into their own hands or take matters into their own hands and make sure that that incident made its way to prosecution. In reviewing Missouri's mandatory reporter laws, which were originally instituted in the 1970s, there is a specific class, a physician, medical examiner, coroner, dentist, chiropractor, those folks in the medical profession, including teachers, are mandatory reporters. And they're mandatory reporters for suspected and actual abuse. What this change to that statute does, section 210.115, is adds a new category. It requires anyone who actually witnesses a child being sexually abused to come forward. Of course, the goal of this is to make sure that these sexual predators are brought to prosecution. These are generally not isolated incidents. These are serial offenders. If we have an additional tool for those folks to be prosecuted, that is a good thing. And that is something that I think what this bill does closes the gap between what we know what the right thing to do here is and actually what the law states. So to address any concerns, there's a lot of ways you could go about doing it. You could cover suspected physical abuse, actual physical abuse, suspected child abuse. This deals with witnessing the sexual abuse of a child and requires anyone to come forward. The fourth substitute you have before you tightens that language as it was tightened in committee to limit it to those 18 years and older to be required to come forward. And with that, Mr. President, be willing to answer any questions.
The senator from the 15th moves the adoption of the Senate substitute. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from Clay, for what purpose do you rise?
To inquire the senator from 15th.
Senator, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, obviously nobody's going to stand up for the child abuser or anything like that, but what I want to know is how can this abuse statute be abused? And what's the penalty for failure to report?
It's a Class A misdemeanor as any if any mandatory reporter violated law, which is up to a year in prison and a $1,000 fine.
Say it again.
Up to a year in prison. Class A misdemeanor, up to a year in prison, $1,000 fine. And I know what you're – and look, it's a valid concern. As I thought about how to deal with this
– wow. A senior in high school who fails to turn – okay, so let's say you've got a senior in high school that's 18 years of age, and they observe a child. I mean, they may think that in their little brother or their little sister's daycare facility or in their Sunday school class, they may think that they see something. Then let's say they didn't, okay, they're 18 years of age and they don't have that much maturity. And so we've got somebody accused of child abuse and neglect in our churches, in our home-run daycare facilities, or we may have an 18-year-old that's really upset at a step-parent that turns them in. So that's one potential way that it could be abused. But let's flip it around. Let's say that the 18-year-old sees their step-parent abusing a child. And
now,
let's
be clear about what you're talking about. When you say abusing, we're not talking about spanking in a parking lot. We're
right.
Talking about adult sexually abusing a child. So let's be clear about the scenario you're using. This doesn't have to do with neglect. It doesn't have to do with suspected. Okay? Because it's a valid issue, particularly.
Is sexual abuse defined in here?
Yes, it is. Sexual abuse is defined as sexual contact by use of forcible compulsion, which.
Is that in your substitute or is that in current law?
Current law is defined in section 566 And if you go to...
210-566.
No, 566 is the statute. Hold on.
Talking, Senator, while I take
566-100. A person commits the crime of sexual abuse if he subjects another person to sexual conduct by the use of forcible compulsion. Sexual conduct is defined in 566-010 as any touching of another person with the genitals or any touching of the genitals or anus of another person or the breast of a female person or such touching through the clothing for the purpose of arousing or gratifying sexual desire of any person. So, and a child, of course, is defined as anyone under the age of 18.
And an 18-year-old is supposed to be able to figure out and
explain to me what there is to where the confusion on figuring out walking in on someone sexually abusing a child in a shower.
But in current law, right over here, it says that nothing in this section shall preclude a person from making, nothing in this section is meant to preclude any person from reporting abuse or neglect.
Right.
So
that's a may. That's a may.
Nothing in this section is meant to preclude any person. Okay, so you want to put them in jail if they don't.
Well, here's what I want to do, okay? I want to put the people in jail who are doing this to kids.
Me too.
Okay. So, if we have someone who stumbles upon this horrific event,
yes.
Wouldn't you agree that that person ought to come forward?
Yes.
Okay.
If the person has the background, the experience, and the knowledge to know.
Right, but we're not dealing with... Look, we're dealing with a pretty isolated... And do I believe that this is going to solve the problem across the board? Absolutely not. But I have a hard time accepting the notion that someone walking in on that incident at Penn State should not be required to come forward, because how many people were abused after that incident, Senator? If that individual could have been brought to justice, how many children's lives could have been prevented from being shattered? And I understand
Go ahead and finish what you're going to say.
No, what I was going to say was I understand the concern about this kind of report being used as a weapon. And I'm not denying that sometimes, particularly in domestic cases, sometimes in a divorce, there are incidents where that has happened.
And we'll explore that here in just a minute.
Sure. But what I do think, when you have a law like we have here, which is narrowly tailored to deal with a specific incident that is witnessed, that's why I feel comfortable moving forward on
it. So let's flip that around just a little bit. And let's talk about how the abuse law can be used, first of all, as a weapon, and secondly, it can be abused. Number one, you've got an 18-year-old who happens to be, I don't know, maybe a junior in high school, maybe a senior in high school. I was always the youngster in my class.
I was a June birthday.
Well, and see, I was...
So would you be comfortable with 21 years old?
I was 17 years old when I was a senior in high school. So, okay,
right.
Let's say 18.
Okay.
Let's say you've got the 18-year-old, maybe junior or senior, who sees a step-parent doing something, and let's say they're right. Let's say it falls in this category.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say mom knows about it also. An 18-year-old knows about it. And maybe even grandma knows about it.
Mm-hmm.
Mom doesn't come forward, and grandma doesn't come forward. 18-year-old is supposed to come forward and say this on somebody who could kick them out of the house, or somebody who could beat them up, or somebody who could make it worse on their siblings that are in the home if this 18-year-old reports it. I just think we're putting an awful lot under penalty of criminal punishment on the back of an 18-year-old that stands to lose a lot.
Well, 2 points, I suppose, in response. One is the hypothetical which you're laying out is probably the most difficult hypothetical to deal with.
And
so I understand, as from a rhetorical perspective, I understand why you're using that hypothetical. As a practical matter, there still is prosecutorial discretion here. In dealing with those, I guess, those types of really, really tough cases. And I'm not saying, in fact, the senator from the 10th brought up that scenario in committee. And there's sometimes you can't deal with every possible scenario.
And I think that's what your bill
does. However, I don't know how it is we can justify turning away from an incident like that was, you know, which what happened at Penn
but
State.
But what you're talking about the incident at Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, and other
look at the chain of adults that we had in the way before we ever get to the kids. We had Joe Paterno, we had the assistant,
right.
We had the assistant's assistants, we had the dean of students, we had tons of coaches running around there.
Right.
We had all these adults who boom, 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 they're in this huge line of succession. They don't get, I don't know what kind of trouble that they got into, but now we're going to put a misdemeanor on a kid who's
right,
may or may not have the...
Right. That's it, but you're
ability
making
to judge.
There's nothing in Pennsylvania law that required that assistant to make sure he went to law enforcement.
Well, shame on Pennsylvania law.
Well, but we have the same law here.
Okay.
Which is
so
what we're trying to remedy.
So why aren't we dealing with something that requires the school official who has the experience, who has a position of power, to be able to say, yes, I saw this. Senator, I'm completely...
Well, wouldn't you
I'm
want,
completely
well, wait a minute.
In agreement
Hold on, you
with
can't
your
have
goal.
A place. Why wouldn't you want, if you're talking about sort of the chain of evidence here, you would want the actual witness to be the one that comes forward, not third-hand playing telephone up the administrative
ladder.
Here's
the problem, is you still have to put it in all the context that, I don't know, the senator from the 10th, I didn't hear your conversation with the senator from the 10th, I may have to ask her to refresh my memory as to what the conversation was, but... Every time we pass a law, we have to figure out, as you know, how it can be used properly.
Absolutely.
And how it can be abused.
I agree. And these are totally legitimate questions, and it's what we're sent here up to do.
And
I guess what I would say is that there are a bunch of ways of going about dealing with child sexual abuse and who should be a mandatory reporter. And I will say that this is the most narrow and most focused way to deal with it, in the sense that you're dealing with a situation where, which granted it's not that prevalent where someone actually walks in and sees it. But I think in those instances, as a matter of public policy for the state, I think it's important for us to say, you know what, if you see it, everybody's a mandatory reporter on that, because the only way we're going to get at the people who continue to do this stuff is if we're empowering the folks to come forward and make sure we have an expectation that people do come forward in those instances. Because
so
I think if we
got,
don't,
you,
we're
you
left with a situation
around.
Where you had years and years of continued abuse at Penn State.
Okay, let's flip it around another way. You've got an 18-year-old who never saw anything in his home, never saw anything maybe in his church, maybe never saw anything in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got a whole line of people who are willing to say that he did.
That the individual saw it and didn't report it?
Sure, and didn't report it. And then all of a sudden you've got a succession of witnesses against an 18-year-old that for whatever reason, through bullying or through whatever that we know exists from the debate that we've had here on this floor, that let's say that they've singled this one out and that's the one that they've culled from the herd and they're going to bully and they're going to say... This one saw all kinds of abuse, and I mean, then you not only get the adult in trouble, you get the one that you're trying to bully in trouble also.
Well, first of all, there have to be an incident that actually came forward and was prosecuted and came to a successful conclusion, in the sense that something actually, I suppose, did happen. But number two, I guess the parade of terribles that you're outlining presupposes that you have a number of people that are lying before a jury after swearing on the Bible that they're going to tell the truth, and there is no law.
That doesn't stop the charges from being filed.
What's that?
That doesn't stop the charges from being filed.
There has to be a reasonable cause as defined by the prosecutor to move forward.
If four or five people come into a prosecutor that's an elected prosecutor, they're probably going to file
You can
charges.
File a lawsuit against anybody, and you can indict a ham sandwich, generally speaking, through a grand jury, but ultimately people have their day in court. So, as far as dealing with 13 people lying, and usually that stuff plays itself out upon when people are cross-examined. I mean, I don't know what you can do about that scenario.
Where do you see that there has to be a successful prosecution?
No, I'm saying your example of someone being ganged up on that they saw something. I'm saying that a prosecutor made a decision to come forward and prosecute, I guess, somebody for child sexual abuse, in that there's an accusation then later made that someone saw it and didn't report it. Which could happen, I suppose.
But the way this is written right now, there does not have to be a completed conviction. There does not have to be a conviction for child sexual abuse for this misdemeanor trigger to kick in against an 18-year-old.
Well, I would disagree, Senator, in the sense that you have to prove all of the elements, okay, that there was sexual abuse, okay? You'd have to prove that it was a child and they were subjected to sexual abuse and that that person did not come forward. So you're going to still have to prove all the elements in a criminal prosecution that you'd have to prove that there was actual child sexual abuse.
What if the person under 18 years of age is the victim and they fail to report their own abuse? They could be charged under this section.
Who observes a child being sexually abused?
Probably observes.
If you want clarification on that, I'd be happy to support an
amendment. Senator, the former senator from the 8th and I shared a tremendous concern that we don't know how to write the laws to change a person's heart that can watch something like this and not create the basket so big that we catch people and allow that didn't do anything.
But your argument, I think, is best served if this bill was different. If this bill said that everybody's a mandatory reporter for suspected physical abuse of a child or an adult or of a child, let's say, so that you've got the spanking in the parking lot scenario. Is that abuse? Is that not? I agree with you.
Because we know what's going to end up happening.
Right. That's
there's going to be a child who has cigarettes put out on them or some horrific thing that any reasonable person in their right mind that had a heart of justice at all would immediately report that to some law enforcement or some social services worker somewhere, but they don't for whatever reason. And then they're going to come back here to the legislature and say, this was a horrible, horrible thing. Our law must be changed so that if you do something horrible like that, that you must be a mandatory reporter. And then we're finally just going to throw our hands up in the air and say, hey, look, anytime you see any kind of abuse going on, you've got to report it. And then we've created a giant weapon in the law.
But let's be careful. That's not what this is, though.
I know it isn't.
Yeah.
I know. You have narrowed it down to people 18 years of age or older, and you've tied it down to sexual abuse.
Right. And but, that they can't. In an amendment offered by the senator from Lewis, made a good point in committee, which was, I was just trying to file the statutory guidelines as far as that would be go to the reported to the division, the Children's Division of Social Services. He made a good point, which was, look, these are folks who are not trained generally, the average guy on the street. Why wouldn't you make it the division or law enforcement? That was a good suggestion. And so that's also in here, which is different from the original bill. I'm more than open to make this bill better. I believe at a very basic level, though, that if we're serious about this problem, if we're serious, we have to have the expectation that if someone witnesses it, that they need to come forward.
And that's the expectation that people at Penn State would take this seriously, and that when the athletic director reported it, and as soon as the college found out about it, the university found out about it, that they would do something about it. Apparently, they had a higher god than protecting children. Their higher god was the altar of football at Penn State. And they sacrificed Lord knows how many children at the altar of this football god that they have at Penn State. Well, shame on them.
Right.
But
we have the same process, though, Senator. We're very, in this state, if this happened at any institution, any academic institution in this state, the same scenario could play itself out. So what I'm suggesting is, let's cut out the middleman. Let's say if you see it, come forward.
When what I would suggest that we do is to say that if you are a person in a position of authority and responsibility as they had at Penn State and you fail to come forward, I mean, we had employees at Penn State, as I understand the articles, who saw this happening, and they didn't come forward.
Well,
now, we had second and third hand information that, you know, whether or not you think Paterno got thrown under the bus, that was a whole other thing. He followed the university rules. He followed the law.
Pardon me, Senators, it's getting awfully loud in here with our conversations on the side gallery. Can we please turn the volume down or take your conversations outside of the Senate chamber? This is important discussion. Continue, Senators.
We have finger pointing going on over behind you, Senator.
Is there?
There's finger pointing going on.
I'm just glad when the fingers aren't pointed at me. So
you're not pointing
at me
either. Senator, I tell you what, let me inquire the Senator from the 10th, because I think she has a lot of experience in dealing with issues like this. So I appreciate the inquiry, Mr. President.
Senator from Clay.
May I inquire the Senator from the 10th?
Senator from the 10th, do you yield?
I do.
She does. Proceed.
Senator, thank you for the inquiry. Apparently, you raised some concerns about this earlier, and I unfortunately didn't hear those concerns. I don't know if it was in committee or it was on the floor. What's up? What's your concern?
I raised those concerns in committee, Senator, and essentially this is the situation that I was concerned about. When you have a parent or a guardian or, frankly, a sibling who witnesses their children or the siblings acting out in an inappropriate sexual way.
Right.
And what happens in that scenario? And the reason I brought it up is something was fresh on my mind from a case that I'd been working on at my law firm, where we had guardians who were grandparents of a child who acted out inappropriately with her siblings in a sexual manner, and it would be considered sexual abuse between children. The family needed to get services for that child. There was no question about that. The child, that's not, you know, behavior that, I mean, the behavior is learned. Obviously, the child had had some issues, and so they needed to get services for that child. And in order to do that, they had to go through the court system, the juvenile court system. Well, unfortunately, what happened is by reporting this activity, the child was then charged. That's not the language we use in juvenile court, but the child was charged with sex abuse, which of course could mean eventually that this child could end up on the sex offender registry, have a felony on his or her record, that sort of thing. And so my concern was the situation where you've got parents, foster parents, guardians of kids,
right,
and they see this activity and they're forced to do the reporting. What happens to those kids? Will they then have some sort of record? And is that a fair situation to put those parents or guardians in? And then the next question is, what happens when the person who sees it is a child, him or herself? Now, has that been addressed by?
Well, I was talking a little bit about that with the senator from the 15th, in that an 18-year-old, let's say there's an 18-year-old that's a junior in high school, and they see their step-parent doing something that they think is probably inappropriate, but maybe they don't have, I mean, they're probably not going to pick up the statute books and look at what sexual contact means, and even if they did, they probably wouldn't understand. I mean, maybe some of these 18-year-olds would understand those words, but maybe some of them wouldn't. And maybe they just thought, look, if I say something, even though I know this is bad, it's going to get worse. I could be thrown out of the house. It could intensify. This behavior could intensify because maybe the courts have never intervened before. Who knows? I can see a whole lot of reasons why that a person 18 years of age would, for whatever reason, think that that would not be a smart or protective thing to do.
Yeah, and
report
I think
this.
Senator, the thing that's really frustrating and it's incredibly difficult with these cases, because obviously if a child is being sexually abused, it needs to be reported. There's no question about that. But the problem is that there are certain circumstances, like the one you just described, where the mandatory reporter might be an 18-year-old sibling. Or when you've got other vulnerable persons. The other example that we heard discussed during the committee hearing was in the situation of domestic violence, where the domestic violence is family-wide.
Yeah.
A lot of times, and I've seen this a lot in my law practice, the perpetrator starts out sexually abusing the mother of the children, and then as And it's usually he, and I don't mean to stereotype, but it's usually he, as he starts to spin out of control, the abuse starts to go down to the children
pyramid.
As well.
Yeah.
And so we are in a situation where, and usually, frankly, that's when the mother who maybe hasn't been able to leave an abusive relationship before, that's usually when she's able to actually get the courage and leave, is when that abuse starts to go down to the level of the children. The problem is that if she's put into a situation where she's now a mandatory reporter because she saw her paramour sexually abusing her children, she could also be at risk of losing her children, because what happens many, many times is when a woman, even a woman in domestic violence situation, reports abuse of her children by her paramour, the children are removed from her custody while they try to figure out what's going on. And so I would see a situation where not just an 18-year-old, but other vulnerable people would have a lot to lose if they made this report. So I kept finding, Senator, more and more of those type situations that made me uncomfortable. So I took it back to the lawyers that I practice with in Kansas City who do this on a day-to-day basis. They represent victims of abuse. They represent abused and neglected children on a day-to-day basis. And I said, and also represent children who are charged with sexual abuse of other children. And I said, what can we do? What can we put into this bill that will protect them? And they did not see anything that we could do to fix this. Now, I'd be more than happy to try to come up with some sort of protections that we add to this bill so that vulnerable people wouldn't be swept into this. I just haven't been able to figure out what to do about that yet.
Well, Senator, I think that the senator from Stoddard has some guests that he'd like to introduce, so I got a hunch that there's going to be three senators on the floor real soon.
But we're going to continue our debate.
Three senators on the floor. Senator from Stoddard, for what purpose are you standing?
Mr. President, I seek unanimous consent to introduce special guests.
See no objection. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. On my left and on your right here in the Senate gallery, seated behind the press table, I have with me a group of folks from Southeast Missouri. They're with the Malden Public Schools. They've done outstanding work there. We have with us Kenneth Cook, who's the superintendent, Carolyn Kornman, who is a board member, and her husband, Jim Kornman, is here, and also Ken Lentz is the board president at the Malden Public Schools, and I would like for the Senate body to welcome these fine folks if they'd stand.
Would the guests of the Senator from Stoddard from Malden please stand and be recognized? Thanks for coming to the Capitol. Thanks for your service to the local school. Senator from Clay, you still have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. And Senator, I'm sorry, you said that you worked this around your law
and
firm,
so,
and that there you couldn't come up with a way to craft the net appropriately.
Yeah, because, I mean, obviously, everybody in this room agrees that if someone walks in and sees a child being sexually abused, that should be reported. That's a no-brainer.
Sure.
And everyone agrees that what allegedly went on in the Penn State disaster should have been handled incredibly differently. I mean, I think we all agree with that. The problem when you're crafting these laws is sometimes you go after a solution to fix a problem that you've seen, but the unintended consequence is that you sweep in some folks who are, frankly, through no fault of their own, are caught up in something that they just is out of their control. And so the question is, at that point, and when I was voting on it in committee, I had to weigh the benefit of passing this law against some of the unintended consequences. And what I did is I went ahead and voted for the bill so that we could bring it out to this floor and have the debate. But I was hoping that there would be, when we have 34 minds on it instead of however many minds are on the Judiciary Committee, some more thought into ways we could possibly make this better.
Well, I think you and I are on the same wavelength. It's so difficult when you're crafting legislation to get that the legal hands on the people who are really the doers of evil and get the light shined on them without casting a net so broad that we pick up people that we never intended in the situation that I described, where that, let's say you have an 18-year-old and they think that they're able to provide some measure of safety for the younger siblings, but if they report or if they get thrown out of the house, that's gone. And then you have an 18-year-old that maybe later would admit, yeah, I knew things were going on, but I could protect them sometimes. There are times that I could do good. My heart goes out to anybody that's in that horrific circumstance, but from my law practice or from your law practice, we know horrific things like that happen.
Exactly, Senator. I've represented women who are in abusive relationships whose children have been removed from their custody because there is a sexual predator in the home. Now, when that woman makes the decision to continue to allow that predator to be in her home, that's her problem. I mean, when she reaches out and asks for services and they give her the ability to get that guy out of the house and she refuses and chooses that guy over her kids, that's her problem. But in the instance where you've got an individual who comes and reports initially,
right,
and then has her kids taken out of her custody and put into foster care because she did the right thing, that really concerns me.
Look, let me make sure I got this straight. You're saying that in Jackson County, Missouri, that if a woman who knows that currently she has a man under her roof that is abusing her and or her children, and let's say it's sexual abuse, and she reports it to the appropriate authorities and reaches out to get help necessary to get out of that, that the first step is going to be that the children are going to be removed from her and her home?
Not always, but it often happens that way because, and frankly, Senator, this happens a lot to poor women and not as much to women who are higher up in the socioeconomic.
Okay.
But what happens is you've got a mom who is suffering from abuse herself, and the children maybe say something about it at school, and the mom has not, mentioned that there's this abusive person in the house. The kids are going to be removed from her care.
Got it.
Well, what I'm saying is if we pass this and make the moms a mandatory reporter, it's going to be one more reason. These are holistic issues. If there's an abuser of kids in a household, and it's not being reported, there's usually a whole bunch of issues that are tied up in it.
Yeah.
We've got poverty issues, we've got abuse issues, we have addiction issues, sometimes we have housing issues. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And these are big cans of worms.
Well,
and when you open them, you don't always get what you think.
If we flip it around another situation and you have an 18-year-old that wants to get mom or get dad, then they report. Of course, I guess they could do that right
now. They can do that now. And frankly, I think that we have some really great investigators in this state who go out and help substantiate or non-substantiate these claims. I think, frankly, Senator, one of the things, and we had some great testimony from a woman who does this work, advocacy work in Southwest Missouri, and one of the things is that if we really want to get at the root of this, we've got to look at how we investigate child sexual abuse in general and how many folks we have doing it and how well they're trained and how well they're supported. I know that this is an uncomfortable issue to talk about sometimes because I fully understand that the state is completely out of money.
Yep.
But I talked with a woman who works at the Children's Division this summer. She had no idea I was a state senator. We were sitting side by side in family court, both waiting to go into the same courtroom. She didn't know who I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of asked her a couple of things about how things were over at the Children's Division. In particular, I wanted to know if they had any sort of employee counseling because I was thinking thinking about just what it would be like to see what a lot of these workers see on a day-to-day basis and whether or not they had that emotional support the way first responders might have after they have a death or something like that. And she said, you know, she was a great children's division worker, and she really had her chin up, and she said, you know what? It's really tough right now. She said, for instance, it's about 100 and whatever degrees outside, and we just got another memo that said that we can't run the air conditioner for certain times of the day because we don't have enough money to do it in the state building.
Yeah.
And that pretty much mirrors wintertime, where they tell us that we can't have the heat on to a certain amount. We have to wear coats at our desks while we're, and so when you've got these children's division workers who have these incredible caseloads, I mean, more than anybody should ever be asked, they're not getting paid much at all. They're being asked to work in hot and cold conditions, and we keep cutting and cutting and cutting at that. This kind of bill, to me, it's nice, let's pass it, but we're not going to ever get at the real issue, which is really investigating these claims correctly.
Well, actually, that's county by county specific, because up in my county, apparently they have enough money that they will remove children from a home because they think the home is too dirty, and they will not tell the parents where the children are or let them see them. They won't let them remove them from that home that some worker has declared as being too dirty. And honestly, what ended up happening is the worker was from an upper middle class neighborhood, and she walked in, and she looked in the freezer, and she saw squirrels in the freezer. Now, I know you were raised in a rural area, and it's not uncommon to find squirrels in a freezer in some of our freezers. But apparently it really flipped her out. And
Senator, I understand. I mean, we have that, and frankly, what we call this in Jackson County is these parents, not all of them. Obviously, some parents are not fit to be parents, and kids should be removed from their custody.
Right.
But we have a significant number of parents in Jackson County who are guilty of nothing but being poor.
Well,
I mean, that's it.
That's pretty much what happened.
And part of the problem that we have right now is the folks that the turnover for these state workers is so intense that we have people come in, like the worker that you're describing, who have absolutely no context. And you're right. I mean, you've got this upper middle class worker who's just out of college, who walks in and she looks at, you know, the freezer and sees a squirrel and she thinks unfit environment. Senator, you'll probably believe this, but I had a case last year. I was representing a woman whose child was removed from her custody because the child was left unattended in a place where there was a meth lab. Well, you know what? That child should be removed from her custody.
Yes.
But that mom took that as hitting rock bottom. And she got out of the relationship that she was in, moved from Independence, Missouri, down to Branson, Missouri, where she enrolled in a program called Church Army. Church Army is doing wonderful things of getting people clean and sober and getting their lives back on track. And so she moves down there to Branson for Church Army. She's sober for a year, and I'm in court one day, and I'm talking this over with not a children's division worker, but a CASA volunteer. And the CASA volunteer says to me, well, I was glad to see your client was doing so well, but I was really concerned that she was living in Branson because, you know, that's where that movie Winter's Bone was filmed, and, you know, everyone down there uses meth.
Did you tell her where you were from?
Yes, that's the first thing I told her. I said, well, first of all, I'm actually from Branson, and my whole family still lives there, and none of them use meth. But second of all, it was completely shocking to me that someone would use, and this was not a children's division worker, this was a trained volunteer by CASA.
Yeah.
But what it shows is that these are humans that are going in and making these decisions. And humans are guided by all sorts of different things. And because of that, we have to be incredibly careful when we're enacting new laws here, because frankly, it's all in the training of the individuals and making sure that they are making the right decisions on the ground. And I'm not sure that we're there right now.
Well, Senator, I really agree with you, because when my practice was in Jackson County, I used to get appointed to some of those cases and saw and heard things that I wouldn't even enter into debate on the floor about, because it's just...
Absolutely.
It's horrible. It's horrible stuff. But and now I've even had concerns about safe exams, because it seems to be that that's kind of the default protective position that we put a child into. But many times the allegation is that if abuse occurred, it occurred 2, 3, 4 weeks ago at least, maybe months ago. Occasionally we have 2, 3, 4 hours ago where we're actually going to get some physical evidence. But a lot of times all those exams show is that a child was injured or was sexually molested, but it doesn't say who, it doesn't say under whose custody. It just generally tells us something bad happened to this child, but in the process, something kind of shocking has happened to this child again under the auspices of the state. That concerns me. The senator from the 8th was concerned about how broad our registry is now, and I'm pretty sure that this may be another, you know, sooner or later, it'll be piled upon for that. So I don't exactly know where this discussion is going. I don't know. I'm like you. I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, how can we fix it? I don't know how to fix it.
I appreciate the opportunity for the inquiry, Senator, because while, you know, I'm in favor of this bill because it's one more small thing we can do to help protect the children in the state of Missouri, until we start giving the prosecutors the tools that they need to prosecute child sex abuse cases, until we start making sure that our children's division workers are trained and that we have safety plans that make sense to protect these children, I'm not sure that we're going to address the underlying issues that are in play here.
You just mentioned one thing. I have to ask you one final question, because when we're looking at these issues, you got to keep turning them this way and that way, because we all agree that what the bill is designed, if we could have a bullet approach, unfortunately, a lot of times our statutes, we end up shooting with a shotgun. So if we had, you're talking about training. Let's say we have an 18-year-old that's a volunteer in one of our churches, at a church-run daycare facility, or let's say that it's a volunteer for the nursery at Sunday school. Are our churches going to believe that we now have to train our 18 and 19 and 20-year-olds in the identification of sexual abuse?
I'm not sure, Senator. I haven't thought about whether or not there'll be any duties on camp counselors, camps,
hadn't thought about that. Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts.
Anything to train folks to become men. I don't suspect, I mean, that there'll be any special training. I mean, it is a very limited bill. It says you've got to walk in and see a child being sexually abused. You know what this bill does? This bill helps the situation that happened at Penn State. So if someone walks in and witnesses some blatant child sex abuse, then that should be reported, and that issue is covered. The problem is that child sexual abuse is so much bigger than that one narrow thing that we can't possibly fix it with just one bill, and we can't possibly prevent unintended consequences with the passage of this one bill.
Senator, you were in the committee where this bill came out. This bill doesn't do anything to make it any tougher on the people who should have been screaming from the rooftops, the adults in a position of authority. This doesn't do anything to put more burden on them to report. It tells the kid who's at camp that they have to report or else we're
going to... No. I mean, this bill would tell anyone who witnesses the abuse that they have to report it. I mean, this goes straight to the situation that made everyone in this country so angry, where that assistant coach or whatever he was, intern or whatever he was, walked in and allegedly saw a child being sexually abused and that he didn't report it.
To a law enforcement agency. He reported it within Penn State, but then they let it die,
is my understanding. And so this would correct that exact situation, or it would at least address that exact situation.
But
I think you and I agree that we might be sweeping too many people into this by passing this. Where we may disagree is that I'm taking a little bit farther and saying that this is really just the tip of the iceberg, and we have a whole lot more stuff we need to do. And then you know, we may also disagree on other portions of it, but I do think that you and I both have one concern that is very similar, which is this is going to put some vulnerable and young people potentially into a situation that is not a good place to be.
Thank you for the inquiry.
Further discussion. Senator from the 1st, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Can I inquire the senator from the 15th?
Senator from the 15th, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. Just a couple of very brief questions.
Yeah.
What committee did this bill come through?
Judiciary.
Okay. Did anybody testify against the bill?
No.
Okay. Does the judiciary take for informational purposes only?
No.
It does not. Okay. I recall when you announced that you were going to introduce this bill, that the organization SNAP actually came out and kind of made a public statement. Do you recall?
There was a newspaper. I don't know if they had a press release. There was a newspaper article where they commented on it.
Right. Do you recall what their comment was?
They said that. I don't know if they objected to it. They just didn't think it went far enough.
No, they didn't object to it, but they certainly didn't think the bill would accomplish anything.
Right. Yeah, I think that
was... In their opinion.
Right.
I guess my concern would be, what are the unintended consequences of this legislation?
Mm-hmm.
And we heard a couple of scenarios from other colleagues, during their discussions. Let's say we've got a high school party, all right, and we've got, you know, a bunch of 16, 17, and 18-year-olds,
mm-hmm.
okay? And you have a 18-year-old that has a relationship with a 17-year-old, okay,
mm-hmm.
Which I guess technically is against the law anyway, correct?
Correct.
Right. Even if the 17-year-old is consenting.
Right.
Right. But, so, something goes haywire, all right, and you have a number of 18-year-olds that are at the party,
sure.
and they see this situation that went haywire, okay, and they don't report it.
Right.
Okay. So, all of these 18-year-olds are going to be guilty of this new crime.
Well, here's the thing. In the substitute that I offered just now, I thought it was appropriate to put some age limit on it so that you could, and 18 is the age majority, made sense. My only issue, and the senator from Clay has brought that up, if that's a concern of yours, I just think I'm willing to go with the will of the body. If we think it's 21, so you avoid the high school scenario, I'm okay with that.
Okay.
If it's 25 because of some magic number with 25, anything that makes the bill better, because I don't want to, you're not trying to pull in, clearly you're not trying to pull in that scenario where you've got sort of what you articulated. But
right.
But I do think, though, and ironically, the bill is so narrowly tailored to deal with some of the anticipated objections about making it too broad.
Right.
And so if that's a concern, and if that's somewhere we want to go from 18 to 21 or something like that, I'd be more than happy to entertain it, because I think there are some valid points being brought up.
Yeah, as much as we'd like to think that as a society, you know, that we're evolving in the right direction, I don't think that our 18-year-olds are quite as equipped as maybe a generation ago. You know, when we think about these type of issues and the maturity factor that it takes to have the discernment,
mm-hmm.
you know, in some of these cases. So,
although they can vote.
Yeah, they can
right?
vote.
You can right, vote for right. President of the United States. Right?
So, Senator, I appreciate what you're trying to accomplish here.
Yeah.
And as our colleagues have said, a terrible, travesty,
mm-hmm.
you know, happened, with this Penn State thing. I just want to make sure that we're very careful. When
yeah,
we pass
absolutely.
Laws. So,
no, and I appreciate that.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion. Senator from Saline, for what purpose do you rise?
I inquire the Senator from the 15th.
Senator from the 15th, you yield.
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Hi, Senator.
Hi.
This is a tough one, and, you know, I've had some concerns. I know what your intent is. My concern is the unintended consequences that we create a crime that And it, you know, when you talk, I guess my biggest, what I really feel like is if somebody is going to report it, they're going to report it, and this bill probably is not going to make that much difference because I don't know how you prove it. What happened in Penn State is unconscionable. There's no question about it. But I don't know how you make enough rules to, I don't know how you make enough rules to correct it. And the danger of the unintended consequences are what concerns me greatly. You know, I think churches are, you know, we're trying to teach anybody that we don't allow anybody to be with the child by themselves. We're trying to teach they have to be at least 18 before we allow them to be with children. And I just don't know where we draw the line and how we, and so I don't know whether you can help me out with any.
Well, and I get it. We probably share those same concerns. What I do know is there's no other way to require under the law that individual who looked the other way in the Penn State for us to codify them coming forward. And unless you say, look, this is something that you got to do as a society, you know, we should do all kinds of things. As a society, you ought to come forward if you witness this heinous act. I think that's the right thing to do. And I think that crosses a broad spectrum of sort of moral or jurisprudential kind of thinking. The intention clearly is not to cast a wide net, but I don't think that this does. Now, if I would have came forward with a bill that said everybody's a mandatory reporter if you suspect child sexual abuse, well, then we've got a much bigger net. But we're really dealing with the witnessing of that act, and I think that by its very nature limits this in its scope. If anybody's got any great ideas on how to deal with that, I mean, I'm all ears. Because along the way, I've been very open to making this a better bill. I certainly wouldn't want us to not deal with it because we're afraid of some, you know, hypothetical out there and not take a shot at resolving that.
Well, I guess one of my concerns is that we already have mandatory reporters. And at some point when you cast it, and I think you brought it as a broader net, and maybe my perception isn't correct, but to me it's a broader net. And at some point, you dilute the ability. It's everybody else's responsibility. If everybody's responsible, then it's everybody else's responsibility. And I am concerned here I know it's not your intent, but I'm afraid that the results would be that we would trivialize or we would in some way create I see two sides of this. One, we trap people that shouldn't be trapped. The other way is that we have people that say, well, you know, it's somebody else's responsibility. And again, it's a concern. It's something I see happening in other cases. And I, quite frankly, am not very anxious about being up here and talking about this bill because I certainly don't want to condone what happened.
No, but we ought to be able to talk about it. Yeah.
But we do need to talk about it. And my concern is that we create scenarios that we put people in traps that they don't really belong in. So I know we had this problem we were talking about. I can't even remember. It was on the same issues, had to do with ages and what have you. And I offered an amendment that nobody else would touch. But I just think it. But I don't know how to fix this one. I don't know how to get rid of the unintended consequences. In my case, part of me wants to think that any human being that walks in on that type of situation are going to respond appropriately.
But we know that they don't. And
well,
that's what we're trying
certainly
to.
Certainly in one case. But I don't know that in that case, when you have superiors,
But see, I don't think people ought to be able to pass the buck on that one. Because that's a high profile, because it's a Big Ten football school, it's gotten the press. But we don't know. We don't know how many of those scenarios have played themselves out. You know what I mean? And we won't know, but I think this is a step in dealing with a very high-profile problem that I think extends well beyond just that reported incident. And I just don't think, look, I don't think it's good enough in that instance to say, well, I told my boss. I told my boss I saw a kid being raped. I don't think that's good enough.
Well, I agree with you. But I also realize it, and correct me if I've gotten hazy on the, but I also realize that we had a young man who probably was scared to death to go forward, and I'm not sure that passing
well, but
the law,
he's an adult. You know, this coach was an adult, and for whatever reason,
graduate
he was,
assistant, right?
Maybe he cared. Maybe he. I don't want to ascribe any motives.
My impression was that he was in the, you know, in the 22, 23, 24 year range.
Yeah, but you know what? If you you can do pretty much anything in this country when you're 21 years old, good or bad, and an expectation of some human decency here, I don't think is too far-fetched.
I just wish I had an answer, because I know where your heart is. And
yeah.
I think all of our hearts are in that spot. It's just a question that we make sure that the remedy is not worse than the...
Understood. I agree.
So, and that's where my concerns are.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thanks.
Further discussion. Senator from Franklin, for what purpose do you rise? Senator from Jefferson, for what purpose do you rise?
To inquire the senator from the 15th.
Senator from the 15th, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Hi, Senator.
Hi.
I don't have a problem with your legislation. I think you drafted it so tightly that some of these other issues won't matter. The issue about the age reporting, I see that somewhat as an issue. But I think there's a way we can be more proactive so a Jerry Sandusky doesn't happen over and over and over and over again. 97% of child sexual assault molestation happens from family members or from somebody, a family friend, and some staggering numbers. 18% of females will be sexually assaulted by the time they're 21, and 17% of boys will be sexually assaulted. Last year, we had legislation called Aaron's Law that I sponsored. And what that did is it developed a curriculum, age-appropriate curriculum, to empower these children to know what's happening to them if they're being sexually assaulted and what they're supposed to do from there. Mm-hmm. I think if a lot of these kids that Jerry Sandusky molested didn't know what to do, they trusted this man, they were afraid to tell anybody, and in Erin's example, she was molested by a cousin and then a neighbor kid over the course of 11 years. She didn't know what to do. And that's why her goal is to pass this in every state, and then hopefully the federal government will institute some type of age-appropriate curriculum. And so the commission has been formed through the legislation last year. I'm now hearing that DESE, no matter what the commission finds and recommendations that they have, will never implement a policy. And to me, that is very irresponsible, because you know, we heard a lot about the Facebook law last year, and let's be honest, the amount of teachers sexually assaulting students doesn't rise to the level of family members, friends of family members, and more was made of that legislation than of Aaron's Law, which I think will have a tremendous impact on reducing those 28% and 17%, 28% females, 17% of boys that are sexually assaulted. And I there's really not a question there. That was more of a comment for me and my frustration with this decision.
Well, thank you. And I think as uncomfortable as this topic is, it is something that we need to talk about. And I appreciate your efforts on this.
Yeah, and to sit there and ignore this problem where our country and the U.K. have these staggering numbers And it's going to continue unless we empower these young kids to know what they're supposed to do. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion. What purpose do you rise, Senator from the 11th?
Mr. President, may I inquire of the Senator from the 15th?
Senator, do you yield?
Yield.
He does. Proceed.
How am I recorded, Mr. President? No, I'm not sorry.
Proceed with your inquiry.
Senator, I have heard most of the discussion today on this, and I think you probably, at the outset, I had a lot of concerns, and in the discussion, I think you've relieved some of those concerns. And I mean, not that I question that you wouldn't do a thorough job. I also talked to the Senator from Lawrence, and this went through judiciary, so that gives me more of a comfort level.
Right.
The problem I had is, first, that you have tightened this so narrowly to this specific circumstance. As you know, the national case that got a lot of the media attention in Pennsylvania, that didn't even, to my understand from the grand jury testimony, involve a witnessing of it. It was like hearsay, part of it. So I wanted to make sure that we weren't in some environment of hearsay, did you hear about, you know, that kind of thing, that it was a very precise, narrow, I observed something.
Right.
And that it was a very specific thing. And it's my hope that you got there. The other concern, I remember about 7 years ago, the senator from the former senator Matt Bartle and the current senator from Lawrence, we dealt with the sex offender laws.
Uh-huh.
And the prosecutors, and I'm just telling you about a kind of a light bulb moment. The prosecutors, you know, we come down here too often in this building, we think, oh, we did a great job, we passed a bunch of laws, and we really made it, we put mandatory sentencing in for this, and this is such a horrific crime,
right,
that, you know, mandatory sentences of 10 years sound good. And the prosecutors and the law enforcement that was there said, stop. Because in the reality, we actually put less people behind bars, get less people in treatment, because, as the Senator from Jefferson alluded to, in these cases, it often involves a family member. And if they're faced with testifying against uncle da-da-da or cousin, and they know that that could put them away for 10 years, of which they'll do 6 or 7 years.
Are you talking about 10 years on this one?
No, I'm talking about
just
this.
In general.
I'm just talking about.
Right.
You brought a comfort level to me on this.
Okay.
That my concern was that we sometimes overreach.
Yeah.
And I want to make it clear, you've satisfied me in that you've narrowed this. Okay. And that it's a very precise thing of that they actually have to see it.
Right.
And then the last point I have, and I'll end the inquiry because I don't want to delay your. I know we're not going to go too much beyond six. But I don't want to delay your bill. The Class A misdemeanor, and I heard you talk to the Senator from Clay, that's a 1 year in jail or $1,000 fine?
Up to, yeah.
Okay, up to. Do you feel that the prosecutor, in order to do that, would have to have a fairly strong case to even charge somebody with this misdemeanor?
Yeah, I think the more likely scenario.
I mean, they really couldn't operate off hearsay.
No, I mean,
they would have to say you were in that room and you saw this.
Which, but if you play that out to its logical conclusion, if anybody was there and is testifying against somebody who didn't report it, they themselves would likely have been a witness that didn't report. So I just don't see a lot of, you know. Now, if you have a situation where someone admits, and I don't know what the other circumstances might be, but clearly, I think what we're saying is if you witness it, it's narrow, that you could possibly be subject to prosecution. However, the real goal of this, the real impetus of this, is to bring more of the perpetrators of the acts to justice, to say we have an expectation of everybody that they would come forward, so as you can't just kick this can down the road to your boss or the administrator and hopefully they do the right thing, but rather we expect that you do the right thing. And most people would do the right thing, but there are those examples of people who look the other way.
And we already have, in current law, that obligation on physicians, nurses,
yes,
social workers, employees,
yes,
of the state. So this isn't a new...
Correct. It mirrors the penalty of current mandatory reporters.
Okay.
Right.
And you don't have any concern that by passing this, that that leads to the problem I was referring to on sex offenders, that it might actually, if there's a crime involved, that people are less likely to come forward?
No, because, I mean, at that point, they're coming forward. They're not subject to the penalty. I think, look, and a lot of this is, this is out there in public discourse. This is in the forum now. And I think by us making an affirmative statement, people become much more aware of what the obligations are. Quite frankly, I didn't know who the mandatory reporters, I'm an attorney, but I don't know who the mandatory reporters are.
A long list.
It is. And those, that is a much broader in the sense that they're dealing with suspicion. So the training that takes place for those folks is warranted. Here, we're talking about folks
Your actual bill at this point with the substitute is talking about actually observing it.
Correct.
The standard that's in current law on the nurses, doctors, teachers is that they have a reasonable suspicion. Is it reasonable?
Witnessing or suspected.
A reasonable suspicion.
And the reason why, I suppose, the reason why those folks are in there is because they have direct knowledge of, like, for example, engaged in the examination, care, treatment, or research of the person. I mean, they're the people that if somebody goes to the hospital or they go to the counselor or they talk to their teacher, they know. I mean, they see the bruises on the inside of the leg. I mean, that's why those people are included in the list.
Okay, then the last point, and then I'll let you go. Immediately report. Now you have in the substitute the other part, which is you've added, and I assume you've added this part, or to any law enforcement agency.
Yeah.
Because I guess my concern at first was I wouldn't necessarily know
that's right.
What division, right?
Yeah.
So now I'm satisfied if I contact
call the police.
The sheriff, the police.
Yeah.
Did they weigh in this bill at all?
The prosecutors testified in support. The sheriffs or the highway patrol, nobody like that testified. But that was a good suggestion. That was a suggestion in committee from the Senate.
And they're comfortable with this reporting requirement that they'll... That you'll call and say, I witnessed
I haven't
this.
Heard otherwise, because the practical reason is once you, under current law, report it to the division, they're supposed to then go to law enforcement and begin the investigation anyway. So they become
okay.
Aware of it as
well,
a matter of course.
Senator, again, I've heard all the discussion today. I think you've narrowed it, which probably satisfies some of the early concerns when you heard about this conceptually. And, you know, whether right or wrong, it's part of this as a even lower standard is in current law. So
yeah.
I just wanted to make sure that we weren't creating an unintended consequence here.
Fair point.
Thank you.
Fair point. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion. Senator from the 4th, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire the Senator from the 15th.
Senator, do you yield?
Yes.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. And this won't take long. I've got just a couple of very general questions. Number one, someone that's guilty of this, we're not putting them on any registry or anything, right?
No.
If they're 18 years old and see something that they don't, that they should have reported and don't, it's not going to haunt them for the rest of their life, right?
No. Right. I mean, they might go to jail.
Right, right. But, we're not putting a sign in the front yard.
But there's not a registry for, to my knowledge, there's not a registry for this.
Right.
And if there is, I'd be happy to correct it along the way, because this is dealing with witnessing, and you're subject to prosecution potentially if you turn the other way, but no.
All right. And the only other thing, and quite frankly, I was astounded when I saw the fiscal note. The last, on page 3, during 2010 calendar year, child abuse neglect hotline received 56,897 calls.
Yeah.
I'm not going to condone some kind of improper behavior just over volume, but I can just imagine if we quadruple, or I don't know how many new reporters we're going to have. Thoughts on that?
Well, if you had a mandatory reporter law for everybody for suspected physical or sexual abuse, it would get a lot higher. But I think given the fact that this is not, I was told someone was abused, or I saw a bruise on someone's inner thigh. This was, I saw the act. Okay? and the expectation is you report it. How many that is, I don't know.
Neither do I.
In fact, if it leads, quite frankly, if it leads to some of these dirtballs going to prison, I'm okay with that.
No, I do agree with it. I'm just pointing out that, you know, we're going to be, it sounds to me, we're going to be in the hundreds of thousands of calls.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Okay. Other than that, I think that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Further discussion. Senator from Clay, for what purpose do you rise?
To inquire the senator from the 15th.
Senator, do you yield?
Yes.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, do we have failure to report laws for other crimes? Like, if I see that child murdered, do I get charged with a misdemeanor if I fail to report that?
No. The reason why we have that for children here in this, well, when people would, you know, when a child is sexually abused, is generally speaking, that child doesn't really have a voice. And so the reason why this doesn't extend to other abuse, and part of the narrowing is to object, to deal with objections that someone like you might have, is to say, I think children are in a different category in the sense that they're not able a lot of times to come forward. So we're saying that for that child who usually isn't going to probably come able, doesn't have a voice, if you witness it, our expectation is that you are a voice for the voiceless.
Okay,
so,
but from the sanity of our laws, so we're telling the people of the state of Missouri that you can watch somebody being murdered and you won't get charged with any crime for not coming forward on that, but if you see them, if you see somebody being sexually abused, a child being sexually abused, then we're going to charge you with a misdemeanor if you're 18 years of age or older. Then the other thing also, if you see a burglary, if you see somebody breaking into somebody else's house, there's no charge for not reporting
crime.
That.
Sure. That's a property crime.
That could put children at risk because somebody's breaking into a home.
Well, I appreciate the questions, but if you have amendments to make the bill better, if you want to offer that as an amendment, then let's let the will of the body decide on that. But
okay.
Just generally speaking, I think effective legislative is when you have those issues, how are we going to solve them? And so there's an amendment on the desk. If the will of the body wants to go from 18 to 21, I'm totally fine with that. But a recitation of hypotheticals over and over doesn't solve the problem of somebody walking in seeing a child being raped. And what are we going to do about it?
No, because
if the answer is nothing, then that's an answer.
Even what we're doing here, all we do is charge them with a crime, which you know they're going to plea. They're going to hire the best lawyers, and they're going to plea, and then you're going to have the 18-year-old that saw it, and he's not going to be able to afford the best lawyers, and they're going to wind up with a misdemeanor charge that's going to stop him from getting a scholarship.
I am not the Oracle of Delphi. I cannot predict the future. However, I do see a problem
here. I thought you had a TARDIS.
I am not. But I do see a problem that I think this is a reasonable solution to,
okay,
which is why I've offered it.
Here's the deal. You are trying to get at the Penn State problem, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Every single person in that chain that saw what was going on.
But they didn't see it. See? They didn't see it, Senator.
Okay, there was one person who saw it,
and that person was over
21.
Right.
And that person was employed by the university.
Correct.
And it was on public university property.
Yeah.
Okay. So if we're going to take a bullet approach at this and we're really going to write the Joe Paterno law or the Penn State University law, then what we really need to do is talk about a person who's 22 years of age or older who is employed. We already know that they have the age and reason to be employed by a public institution of higher learning. They saw it.
Now, let me play the advocate on the other side now.
Okay, and I'll be the oracle.
So what you're telling me is, I'm at a rest stop on my way after a session to vacation with my family, and I'm in somewhere heading south, wherever, and I walk in on that. Now, I'm not employed by a university. I'm not a coach. I mean, I don't think we suspend the right thing to do here in an effort to try to be, I see what you're trying to get at, but I just don't think that's the right thing to do. I think anybody who sees it, so my MO here is, if you see it, and we're dealing with our most vulnerable, okay, and they're being raped, I mean, I don't think it is a stretch for this body to say, you know what? We need to update what we do in Missouri. We need to take a look at this and say, yeah, we expect a little bit more than what we've expected.
I agree with the first half of what you said. There is nothing in this section that will preclude you, as a person who has a right heart and good eyes, from reporting that.
Well, sure, we wouldn't outlaw somebody coming forward.
There's
nothing. What we're saying is we have a higher expectation.
But
okay?
You also agreed that as we were walking through the various scenarios, that even the way the bill is written, that the senator from the 10th has issues with it, some other
well, she doesn't. She
issues.
Voted. She voted for it out of committee. I think
she said she wanted to get out here on the floor to see if 34
of us could
fix it.
But what she said is she doesn't know if the bill goes far enough. That's not what you're saying.
Well, because it doesn't go far enough into training.
Well, I think. Look, I've gathered, and we haven't had this discussion. I've gathered that you have have had some experience or become aware of situations in which. These statutes have been used as a sword and not a shield. And I get that.
And the other scenario where you have the 18-year-old who is residing in the home and the step-parent may be the abuser, the parent may be the abuser. But if that 18-year-old, if that child that's still living in the home turns around and does what's required by this section and the adults fumble... Sorry to keep using these football analogies, but we know full well that law enforcement isn't perfect and reporting isn't perfect. And you've got an 18-year-old that comes forward and says, my sister is being sexually abused by this step-parent. And God help that child and the one who's being abused. If law enforcement fails in any way, the abuse is going to get worse. And the child who reported could wind up
I get it. They're already in a horrific scenario.
Right.
A horrific scenario.
And so now we're putting them in another where they could lose everything.
There's nothing, you know, we can try, but what we do here isn't going to solve all those problems to deal with the root causes of that. I think, look, and I don't, this issue, a broader issue, can be controversial. I guess what I'm saying with this bill is, I've tried to take in input and make this bill as narrowly focused as possible to deal with the issue of witnessing child sexual abuse.
But
and
you haven't,
if there are
you
ways
said it
to
was
do that,
state.
If there's a better way to do it, I'm all ears.
You said
but the option of not addressing this, though, I do think is not something that... I just think we ought to deal with this. And as uncomfortable it is, there are situations that we have to say... to the rest of the world that our expectations are a little bit higher, because what are we trying to do? We're trying to protect these kids, and we're trying to bring these perpetrators who are serial perpetrators to justice.
And we agree on
that. If Pennsylvania, I mean, the string of events that took place after this witnessed incident.
At Pennsylvania State University.
But you're not suggesting that this doesn't happen elsewhere.
You said you wanted to deal with the Penn State situation. Let's deal with the Penn State situation.
No,
we
look, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying the situation where an assistant coach witnesses another former coach in a bathroom or in a shower. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the incident at Penn State where someone witnessed it. They saw it. And they thought it was
And they
good.
Were an employee.
And they didn't do anything about
and they,
it.
Well, they did what they were supposed to do.
Right.
According
and we
to
had
law.
That, right. But what you're saying is that's not an acceptable solution. What I'm saying is
right.
that can
be
very...
Folks at Shook, Hardy, and Bacon couldn't figure it out, and I don't pretend that my one legal mind is going
to
be able to.
I'm happy
match
to work
theirs.
With you. I want to work with you, but I mean, I have views on it too. I just think that's a little too narrow. If it's we're talking about age or some other way of dealing with some of the things that were brought up, I'm fine with that. I mean, I think this is a collaborative process, but I just think at some point we got to have a proposal sort of to deal with and. If people think that's the best way to do it, that's fine. If it's not, then that's okay, too.
Well, we could always take the Ron White solution and shoot him.
Well, some people have suggested... Yeah, I won't comment any further. Yes.
Senator, I think
people have suggested that this issue could have been dealt with at the time that it happened, and maybe it should have been. But
I don't know. I think there's an amendment floating around out there, and I don't know how to fix it.
Well, I think we've had some very constructive debate, and I would hope that as we have had time to deal with this, that we can come up with something that works better so that we can make sure that we as a state deal with a really important problem.
Well, but there's an amendment out there floating around, and I don't know if that fixes it or not. But
okay.
All right. Thank you, Senator.
Thanks for your dialogue today. Mr. President?
Senator from the 15th.
Would you please place that bill on the informal calendar?
That bill will be placed on the informal calendar.